So, Abraham. I'm sure you've heard of Abraham before, but the question is why? Why look at Abraham? Why should we be spending some of our time in church looking at a guy that lived around 3,000 years ago? His world was completely different to ours today. For example, back then, no cars, no computers, no mobile phones. So you might be thinking, what could we possibly learn from a guy who lived so long ago? Well, technologically, nothing. But spiritually, something very important. More than anything else, Abraham is known in the Bible as being a man of faith. In the New Testament, after Jesus, after Paul, Peter, John the Baptist, the next most frequent person mentioned is Moses, and then close after Moses is Abraham. So if you have a look at that from a New Testament perspective, the two biggest characters of the Old Testament are Moses and Abraham. And even though we can learn a lot from Moses, according to the Apostle Paul, we Christians have more in common, theologically speaking, with Abraham. So Abraham is very important. He's an important historical figure, and not just for Christians, but also in Judaism and in Islam. Abraham is viewed as a founding father of their religions. All of that means that looking at Abraham's life and his relationship with God can go a long way to help us understand what faith is all about. So Abraham, he's a famous dude, but as we look today at his family background, we'll discover that he came from pretty much an ordinary family, but it was also a family that suffered a fair bit of tragedy and dislocation. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 27, it starts off by introducing us to the generations or the family history of a guy called Terah. Terah was descended from Shem, who was one of the three sons of Noah. We're told that Terah had three sons himself: Abram, which was Abraham's original name, then Nahor and Haran. Now, the fact that Abram was mentioned first suggests that he was Terah's firstborn son. And the name Abram probably means exalted father. Verse 27 also tells us that Haran was the father of Lot. And that's significant because in verse 28, mention is made of a tragedy that befell the family. Haran, presumably the youngest of Terah's sons, died before Terah himself had passed away. Now, this suggests that Haran was relatively young when he died. The normal expectation is for parents to die before their children, right? But here, a point is made in Scripture that Haran passed away before his father Terah did. We're also told in verse 28 that Haran passed away in the land of his birth, in Ur, we would say in English, but it's more like Ur in the original language of the Chaldeans. Now, there has been some debate about where the city of Ur was located, but we know that the Chaldean people lived in the region of Babylon. Most scholars think, therefore, that Ur of the Chaldeans is the city of Ur, which is located in the region of Sumer. Now, back in 2000 BC, around about the time of Abraham, we know that Ur was a large modern city-state. In fact, some scholars think that Ur could have been the largest and most developed city in the world at that point in time, which is quite significant. If that's the city in which Abraham and his family lived, then it suggests that Abraham wasn't a country bumpkin. He was a city slicker. He knew what it was like to live in a wealthy, technologically advanced city with a population of tens of thousands of people. You could say that Ur was the New York equivalent of the ancient world. And it was there, in that cosmopolitan city of Ur, that Abraham and his brother Nahor got married. Now we're told that Abraham married a physically beautiful relative named Sarai. We know from what Abraham says later on in Genesis 20 that Sarai was actually his half-sister. They had the same father, but a different mother. Now, we would view marrying your half-sister today as incestuous. But back then, close kin marriage was an accepted practice in some cultures. And it seems that Abraham's family practiced a form of close kin marriage, because not only did Abraham marry his half-sister, but Abraham's brother, Nahor, he married his niece, a girl called Milcah, who was the daughter of Haran, the youngest brother of Abraham and Nahor, the guy who died early. So Abraham married Sarai, but notice the content of verse 30. Another tragedy, we are told here. Sarai was barren. She had no children. Now, one of the key purposes of marriage historically is for a man and a woman to come together in physical union with the expected result of having children. So the inability to have children is something that many women, particularly in the ancient world, would fear. And this is exactly the tragedy that we see happening to Abraham's family. Sarai, Abraham's wife, was unable to have children. Try as they might, they weren't able to have kids. And we know from the biblical record that this was a source of great shame for Sarai. It was also a problem that Abraham himself would have to struggle with for most of his life. Now, through the tragedy of Haran's early death and Sarai's infertility, we can see quite clearly here that Abraham's family was basically an ordinary family, right? They had to struggle at times with sickness and health problems, and they weren't immune from death devastating their family life. But the good thing that we can learn through all of this is that God works in ordinary families. Looking from the outside in, we don't really see anything special about Abraham's family. They're not presented to us here in the Bible as being particularly healthy or wealthy or wise. They might have been living in what was a high-tech city back then, but they still struggled with the ordinary difficulties of life. What we'll see as we study the Abraham narrative is God's word will come in to bring about a transformation for their family life. We'll see that God's word will impact upon Abraham's family to bring blessing to that ordinary family. And friends, that's a good reminder for each one of us here today about what God can do for each of our families. If we have God's word in the life of our family, then we will see transformation, just like what we'll see in the life of Abraham and his family. Now, moving on to verse 31, we also see something else about Abraham's family. They were a family of migrants. It says that Terah took Abraham, his grandson Lot, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and together they left Ur and set off to the land of Canaan. Now, following the Fertile Crescent, so they would have gone up northwest before going down to the land of Canaan, altogether that would have been a journey of around about 1,700 kilometres. So it's a fairly big distance, but if they were taking the journey at a regular pace, it could have taken them a couple of months or so. to be able to go that distance. But for whatever reason, they only went as far as Haran. They went just over halfway, around about 1,000 kilometres, before settling down in Haran, instead of going all the way to the land of Canaan. And by the way, the place name Haran there is spelt differently in the original Hebrew from the name of Terah's son Haran. So there's no connection between those two names, even though it sounds similar to our ears. But the question is, why would Abraham's family leave the great city of Ur to head to the land of Canaan? You know, it's a bit like leaving Sydney to go live in East Timor. Not to say East Timor is a bad place, but, you know, Sydney is a lot more high-tech than East Timor. Well, the narrative in chapter 11 doesn't tell us why they left Ur. We do know, however, from chapter 12, that God told Abraham to go to the land of Canaan, the promised land, and it may well be that that command was given to Abraham while he was still in Ur. But the point to note right now is how Abraham's family was also a family of migrants. Just like all, I think, of the families represented among us here today. I think it's true, isn't it, that we are either immigrants ourselves or the sons and daughters of immigrants. Although it is true to say that some of us have been here for longer than others, particularly those of us of Aboriginal or English background. Now, to give you a personal example here, my Coxhead forefathers came to Australia from England on a boat called the Gloriana. And it's pretty amazing that they have pictures of these boats, because it was a long time ago. John Coxhead, my great-great-great-grandfather, travelled from Berkshire, which is a place west of London, to the port of Plymouth, and then boarded a ship there to sail all the way to Sydney. The ship arrived 103 days later. Just think about that the next time you're travelling to Europe in the space of a day or two. Back then, it took over 100 days to get to Australia from England. And they arrived on the 27th of July, 1855, in Botany Bay. And on board the ship was his son, Elijah, who was my great-great-grandfather. Now, anyone want to do the maths? I did the maths earlier on. And if I got it right, that means that my family on the Coxhead side has been in Australia for just over 161 years. That's a pretty good number, don't you think? Actually, I think that might be the record amongst all of us here. I'm not sure. What do you think? Anyone here, you reckon your family living in Australia could beat 161 years? Anyone? Now, for some of you, your family has probably been in Australia for maybe less than 20 years. Although I think there'd probably be a fair number of those of you here whose family has been in Australia for 40 years, maybe, just over 40 years. Anyone here go back 50 years? No? Well, whatever the case, what does that tell us? All of us here are from migrant families. Now, my family may have been here longer than your family, but my family were a family of migrants too. And in fact, I can prove that to you. Because just yesterday, I found in the New South Wales archives a record of when my Coxhead ancestors on that boat arrived in Sydney. You can see the record here. In fact, on the very first page of the list of passengers who arrived, you can see the Coxhead family. John, he was 44 years old. And Elijah, he was 9. Now,
It's an interesting record there because you can see also the occupation that they did. You can see where they came from. And also a very interesting list here of religions. So there was C of E, which is Church of England, right? But also, anyone see what this says here up the top? Read or write. They wanted to know whether passengers could read or write. Okay, and the good thing is that John, I'm happy about this, it says both. He could both read or write.
Yoo-hoo! My ancestors were literate. That's a good thing to know. So it's interesting the information you can see from a record like that. But just to prove the point, what does it say up the top there? Can you see? List of immigrants per ship. Proof. My ancestors were immigrants. Just like your ancestors when they arrived here in Australia. And just like Abraham's family. Our families, they've moved location over time. Like many other families around the world, we come from migrant families. Now, do you reckon it's easy being a migrant? Some of you might remember when you first came over to Australia, the big changes that you had to deal with. It's different. Lots of challenges. Leaving what you're familiar with and heading off to somewhere unknown, it's definitely not easy being a migrant. And this was one of the other challenges that Abraham's family had to face. They needed a place to live. They needed a place that they could call home. In fact, when you look at the bigger picture, why does migration exist? Well, ultimately, it's because all of us are searching for a place that we can call home. All of us are looking for a better place to live. In fact, the way the Bible tells us, ultimately, all of us are really, whether we know it or not, we're really searching for heaven. All of us are looking to find our way back to our ancestral home in the presence of God that was lost when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And by God sending Abraham on a journey, that's plugging in to God's plan for the human race to be able to go back into the presence of God. And so when we see it that way, we can see that Abraham's journey is the journey that all of us must make, to leave behind our place of birth and to head towards the land of promise, the city of God. In fact, it's only by leaving home that we can find it. Which brings us to verse 32 and the next tragedy that befell the family of Abraham. Terah himself. He passed away, but notice at the good old age of 205, he made his double century. That's a good innings. He didn't die prematurely like his son Haran, so I guess that's something, but in the end, death still ended his life. Just as it will, all things considered, the life of each one of us. So in conclusion, what can we say about Abraham's family background? Well, I think it's easy to see what we've been talking about today. His family was an ordinary family that struggled with infertility and death and the difficulties of migration. But as we see what God did for Abraham's family, how God was able to transform them and bless them, how God called that family to leave their home, to head out into the unknown, yet knowing that God would lead them to a new home, as we see those things, we'll be able to see with greater clarity what God's will is for each one of our families here today. And ultimately, what is that? Well, friends, God calls each one of us to begin a journey of faith. There will be difficulties on the way. There'll be tests of faith to endure. But most of all, there'll be blessing. blessing. That's what God promised to Abraham. And he promised that through Abraham and Abraham's seed, blessing would come to all the families of the earth. For everyone who would follow in the footsteps and the faith of Father Abraham. So friends, whatever your family circumstances might be, however long you happen to have lived in this place, please remember that God wants to bring transformation and blessing to you and your family. The key, like Abraham, is stepping out in faith and following in the footsteps along the pathway that the Lord God sets for us. So, as we look at Abraham, I hope this will be a journey that each one of us will take. We'll step out in faith and follow in the footsteps of Father Abraham.